A love letter to the hospital. Outside the main doors of St. James's Hospital, a man leans on a crutch and watches a flecked brown herring gull picking at the dirt. It is early evening and the sky over Dublin 8 is adrift with watery shadows. Nearby, the Lewis hums its iron song as the hospital campus thrums with taxis, bicycles and a stream of visitors, patients, staff. But the man seems oblivious to the world outside this bird. Here he stands utterly transfixed, as if under a spell, as if all purpose in him has led to this one act of looking. What is it that he sees? Is it the bird's strange beauty or poise? Is it the bird as an omen, or does he see in the bird a reflection of himself that he has never encountered before? The man watches the gull, and I watch the man, and I think of my favourite poem by Patrick Kavanagh, written here on this exact site, and of how this poem speaks to the act of paying attention. The Hospital.
A year ago, I fell in love with a functional ward of a chest hospital. Square cubicles in a row, plain concrete, wash basins and art lover's woe, not counting how the fellow in the next bed snored. But nothing whatever is by love debarred, the common and banal are heat can know. The corridor led to a stairway, and below was the inexhaustible adventure of a gravelled yard. This is what love does to things. The Rialto Bridge, the main gate that was bent by a heavy lorry, the seat at the back of a shed that was a sun trap. Naming these things is the love act and its pledge. For we must record love's mystery without claptrap. Snatch out of time the passionate transitory.
For we must record love's mystery without claptrap. Snatch out of time the passionate transitory. In the spring of 1955, Patrick Kavanagh was admitted here to St. James's, then known as St. Kevin's. He was suffering from cancer and required surgery to remove a lung. It was a diagnosis that came in the wake of a public and bitter libel trial. One might speculate that it was a dark time in the poet's life, and yet it was a time that he later described himself as a rebirth. In Hospital Notebook, recorded for radio, Kavanagh recounts experiences of light above the roofs of St. Kevin's, the constant stream of trolley stretchers that go past, and playfully a rain weather report before entering the operating theatre. In these notebooks, there is great clarity and light. And in reading his words, I return to questions that haunt me in my own work as a poet. How can a poem be a tool for excavation? In what ways can a poem transform darkness into light? And how can a poet honour and hold together the ghosts of trauma and survival? Like Kavanagh, my first awakening to place was shaped by an upbringing in rural Ireland. I grew up in northwest Donegal, in a landscape steeped in folklore, mythologies, and the rich shadow light of gods and warriors moving glacially across the bogs. But 30 years ago, it was still a time in Ireland when church and state wielded an intense influence over the lives of rural working class people, and often female meant least of all. In Kavanagh, I found a voice that burned with longing, with hunger, with grit, with desire, and with the keen sense of a life carved out against the harsh edge of reality. Here was a poet who knew the language that I knew, who knew all the grinds and rituals and extraordinary gifts and grievances of small community. Here was a poet who, like my own people, inclined towards the earth and who carried a feeling for what might be buried within it. When recently I began to explore in my poems the subject of St James's Hospital, specifically the history of the old Dublin Foundling Hospital of the 1700s, where it said that thousands of children died in dire conditions, it was to Kavanagh that I turned for answers. How to write out of such a dark landscape? How to find a way of blurring the lines between history and imagination? How to find the light trapped within or just below the surface of a place? In the hospital, Kavanagh weaves a love spell in the shape of a sonnet devoted at every turn to the idea that place, no matter how constructed, no matter how pocked or scarred, might be a veil through which we can glimpse the other world. Who of us cannot see the shimmering of Kavanagh's square cubicles in a row, or that of the inexhaustible adventure of the gravelled yard? Who of us is not made vulnerable by the fragile images that act as hinges in the poem, the bridge, the gate, and the trap that might hold us or let us fall? And who can fail to be moved by the brute paradox of that bald declaration, but nothing whatever by love is debarred? In just this one sentence alone, where the words love and bar exist together, so intimately brushed up against one another, for better and for worse, world is at once both right and wrong. Love and cruelty, tenderness and violence, darkness and unexpected light. In my own long poem titled The Foundling Crib, I channel Kavanagh when I write. Pity the birds who will never know the moon's grace. Pity the foundlings gathered at a rare fire, cupped hands begging the heat. Pity their uplit cheekbones like the death petals of a cursed buttercup. In Kavanagh's poem, The Hospital, there is tension, paradox, and the contradictions of life itself.
Everybody said that for such a highly strung, sensitive person, I was an awfully good patient. Visitors saw in me a man of remarkable fortitude, a virtue they never suspected. I was inclined to believe it myself.
Like a lake within a lake, or a bog deepening within a bog, Kavanagh's influence keeps on flowering deeper into my work. And listening to his unique lilt, the rolling oars and earthy vowels, I am called to consider not only how poems of trauma and survival are shaped on the page, but how they live in the body. In Irish Gaelic culture, the spoken poem comes out of a long tradition, said to have commenced with the mythical bard Amargin, of carrying the poem on breath, of embodying the poem's music, of striving for the arcs and peaks and rhythms and stresses of language, of making the shape of the poem with air. In reading aloud my own poetry, I'm often asking myself, what is the power of the poem in a public place as an act of protest or celebration? And what does it mean to stand on a stage and breathe images of historical loss out of the self and into the world? Kavanagh, with his distinctly deliberate reading style, demonstrates how, in the sound delivery of a text, silence can be broken or reclaimed, and world fragmented or restored. Standing here outside St. James's Hospital, of red brick and grey panels and unclean glass, I can hear Kavanagh echoing.
Naming these things as the love act and its pledge.
And in the end, my thoughts are this. A poem is not a cause or a message or a balm. It's not simply an invitation to bear witness to history or to suffering. It is a way of looking deep down into the tunnel of the unanswerable and of finding there a thing you never expected to find, of connecting with an essence, of seeing in the herring gull a thing that you cannot tear your eyes away from. According to folklore, the gull heralds not only life of the sea, but of the missing dead. How oddly magical to observe them here circling overhead. And how oddly poignant that somewhere here, inside this hospital, Kavanagh left behind an aspect of his physical self in the form of a lung. The lung, which is so much more than a simple pump. The lung, which is an intricate paradox, fragile and strong, both protection and portal, and the strange nexus of a relationship with an environment that can either heal or harm us. It is said that in the deepest recesses of the lung, a wall as thin as a single cell is all that separates us from the world. Here in the skies over St. James's Hospital, a construction crane hangs mid-air today, as workers in orange high-vis vests begin to pack up for home. Like many parts of Dublin, this heartland seems to be in a constant state of flux, a constant state of rebuilding and of reimagining. In revisiting Kavanagh's poem, The Hospital, I'm struck again by the poet's relentless and belligerent pursuit of a mystery at the heart of human suffering, and by his transformation with light of bricks, of stone, of earth. So much of this landscape I stand upon will soon be gone. So many histories disappeared. So many versions of the site obliterated and remade. Astonishingly, no clear marker exists in memory of the now almost forgotten Foundling Hospital, or for the many lives lost. The ward in which Patrick Kavanagh was a patient has been renamed. And already the man who leaned on a crutch to watch a brown herring gull pick up the dirt is gone. But the poem is a record of the past, is a route that like a river runs underground, bright and dark, still and tremulous. The poem stakes a plant, asks us to pay attention, asks us to believe, look, a history was here, the mystery survives.